It's funny because he had given me this message about 3 weeks ago. I was supposed to preach 3 weeks ago. Then, I don't know if you remember, but my son went into the hospital and he was admitted. And so I wasn't able to like go anywhere with him for a week because he couldn't be around people. So my mom ended up preaching. And then last week we had Chris Pringle. How many of you enjoyed her? Woo! I wasn't expecting that last week. I was tore up. I went home and me and God, we had some talk. But it was good. It was a good cleansing. We've had some cleansing here the past couple of weeks, haven't we? God had put something on my heart, and I'm going to talk about how to overcome disappointment. You know, every single one of us as a human being faces disappointment probably on a daily basis. It's something that, you know, have you ever gone on vacation or like Dan and I on our date? Okay, this is what we're going to do, and then it never ends up that way. And, you know, you have a choice. You have a choice to be irritated by that situation changing, or you can go with the flow and not allow the disappointment to come in and settle. And so many times, maybe you've been disappointed by children. I remember when I was a teenager and I was screwing up. The one thing, I didn't mind if Dad spanked me. I didn't mind if I got grounded. I didn't mind if the phone was taken away. When he said, "I'm disappointed," it was like a stab to the heart because I knew it was way deeper than a punishment. It was actually to the heart because disappointment, it festers its way into our hearts, and it's so gentle and subtle that you don't recognize it's even there. And the disappointment can turn into so many things. If you leave it, it can become bitterness. It can become unforgiveness. It can cause you to have a slight form of depression. It can leave you lethargic. You can just kind of be like, whatever, I don't care. And you don't know what's wrong with you. Have you ever had those moments? I don't know. Maybe it's my hormones. I don't know what's going on with me. Have you ever thought maybe your heart is hurt by something and you just never pulled it out and fixed it? And so the Lord wants us to kind of examine our hearts today and say, what's there so that I can use you the way you need to be used, so that you aren't being blocked by like a cinder block wall of disappointment, because it's one disappointment on top of another, on top of another, on top of another. And after a while, you can't really go anywhere because you're just used to the wall. The wall becomes common in our lives. And I believe that there are common things that we put up with on a daily basis that the Lord is saying, enough. No more common in your life. You're not allowed to be this way. So what happened was Dan and I were fasting. We fast every year on the 1st of January to February 1st. And every year, I do challenge you to fast because I hate it. And because when you fast, let me warn you, you're going to get attacked. And every time I fast, we've gotten attacked, but I've gotten life-changing direction from the Lord. So it's always been worth it. But this time, it was like almost the end of the month, and I'm telling Dan, geez, I haven't gotten attacked. It's just been wonderful. I've just been like, you know, sitting in heaven all month, and it's just been so great. And then it hit. And, you know, the enemy doesn't use just anything to hit you. He uses the things that are the most closest to you. And something had happened in my life, and it wasn't comfortable, and it wasn't something I liked to hear. And there were things that were, in a way, like pinging my heart. And so my heart got a little pinged. And I was really kind of in a light depression about it. You want to know the truth. And it's not often that I get hurt, because I'm kind of a tough butt. I'm like, whatever, get over it. I'm over it. But this wasn't like that for me this time. This was kind of deep. And I could have called people and talked about it and tried to get it out. I could have, you know, gone over it a million times with Dan, and I just didn't feel like doing that either. And I felt like the Lord said to me, you need to get alone, and you and I need to talk. And I was like, oh gosh, here we go. Because everything that pinged in my heart was probably true. And so I needed to like fix me. And then what ended up happening was I ended up beating myself up. How many of you do that? You're your own worst enemy. And God started to bring out all this stuff. It wasn't that one thing that happened, but it was like a series of things that had happened over the years that I was frustrated about, and that my husband would tell me, Jess, you're not talking in faith towards that. And I'm like, yes, I am, but it's just wrong. This is just unjust, you know. And I'm a fighter. If you don't know me, I'm a stickler about things. And we were fixing our mortgage, and it just took forever. It was horrible, horrible process. It was years of me literally being on the phone every single day, like trying to save the house. And God did come through. We were able to keep the house. But I was bitter about it, and I didn't know. And here's Dan. Yay, God totally saved the house. I'm like, yay. Great, thanks, God. Like, seriously, that's how I felt. And I'm being very open and honest with you today. Not so you could judge me, but so you could look at yourself and go, do I do that? And he kept wanting to do things to the house. Like, oh, well, you know, since we're here, let's, you know, if we get tax return, let's buy this for the house. And I'm like, I don't want to. Because in a woman's heart, that's our home, right? We connect. And so in a way, I had to disconnect a little because I thought, well, if we don't keep it, I don't want to be hurting. And Dan kept telling me, no, you're not in faith. You are. This is not faith coming out of you. And I would just get mad. What are you talking about? I'm in faith. You know, and so, and then don't preach at me, preacher. You know, like, I go to my mom. He says I'm not in faith, you know. And during this month and during that week that God said, get alone, it was almost like it sparked that I had to go get alone. I had put the kids in, you know, in school, and Titus was taking a nap, and I was just with God a lot. And it was neat because I was fasting from any social media, which is, hello, you should try it. It's wonderful. And I couldn't hear voices. I couldn't talk to anyone. It was me and God. And I really had a soul search. And the Lord began to bring out, hey, you were bitter from 2 years ago when you went through that process. And you're still angry because when you say, oh, that stupid company screwed us over, that's not speaking life into that, Jess. That's speaking not life into the situation. And you're dying to what I've given you, and you're not enjoying the rewards that you've had. And I was just like, oh my God, please forgive me, Lord. And then there was something else that, you know, it was easy to just be like, okay, it's easier to just walk away because I'm going to get hurt, and I don't like getting hurt, so I want to put my walls up and protect myself. And that's what all of us do. But especially as pastors, I think we do it a lot easier because we get hurt so much. And something happened, and I was kind of like this, you know, like, I'm good. I'll just stay here because it's just safe. And God was like, no, you need to start fighting because you have to fight for what I've given you. And I just began to get stirred. Okay, Lord, fine, then I'm going to fight. And then you go against the odds. You do the opposite of what they say you can do. And all this stuff just started to stir up inside of me. And then at the very end of this conversation, a lot of things had come out. And the Lord had said to me, what you're dealing with is not unforgiveness. Because I'm searching my heart like, Lord, is it unforgiveness? What is going on? He's like, no, it's disappointment. And it's had you bound for too long. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I am. I'm just disappointed that situation happened with those people. I'm disappointed that my house didn't go the way I wanted it to. It wasn't that it didn't go right. It just didn't go the way I wanted it to. You know, you're hearing like debt forgiveness for certain people. I'm like, why don't we get that? You know, like, why? And then God told me to move into the house. Well, maybe I didn't hear God. Maybe that was a mistake. Maybe I missed God. And I started questioning my spirituality. I started questioning, like, am I hearing the Lord? Do I know where I'm at, Lord? And God said, you're just fighting and coming up against disappointment. People have let you down. Things have been said. You have done things that you weren't sure about. You've stepped out in faith, and now the enemy's coming in and trying to bring doubt. And you need to stop, Jess, and you need to focus and pray and give it to me. And I said, okay, and it's just that easy. God says to cast his cares upon him, for he cares. But how many times do we hold on to it? How many times do we not even recognize it's there? I lived with this thing with the house for 2 years. For 2 years, it was a little thing that was like, every time I would like want to do something to the house, I'd be like, ugh. I even went shopping and thought, I'm going to buy something for the house so that I like it again. It didn't work. And now I'm in love with my house. Like, I'm telling you, I am so free. I am just so, but I want you to be there too. Because if it's happening to me, it could be happening to you. And this can happen with children. It can happen with your husband, maybe the way he's treated you. You know, there were just some things in the past that, yeah, he's trying, but I just can't, like, oh, that disappointed me. It hurt me. And it went down to my heart, and I love him, and I forgive him, but it's just really hard for me to let everything be free. And you know what? It's not your job. That's what the Lord spoke to me. It's not our job to let things be free. It's his job. But we have to give it to him in order for us to be in freedom from it. And then don't kid yourselves. You're under attack. That's what I read. At the very end of this month, I was under attack. It was demonic, the things that were happening. And when we started to recognize, what's going on here? I don't know about you, but have you ever had the devourer work on your finances where every month you're like, yeah, things are paid, but no, don't spend anything else. Like, do not go to Starbucks. Do not, like, get extra gas. You know, like, just get what you need and then that's it. And we were really at that point of like, okay, what's going on? And the Lord spoke to me at the end of this month when I was able to hear him, when I got alone with him, and he said, hey, The devourer is working overtime, not just with your relationships, not just with your heart, but with your finances. And you've put up with this long enough. And I told Dan, and we got out of bed because we were in bed. We were talking about it. He's like, come on, let's go. And we just started pacing, and we were like kicking that devil out of there. And let me tell you something. The next day, I got a check in the mail, you know, $300 check he talked about. That came the next day. And then I like had something broken. Of course, it broke right when I bought it. And so I had to go back, and I got like three things that I needed for way cheaper than when I bought that one item. And I had not gotten deals in so long. And I was just so frustrated about it, you know. And so I just saw God working right away, because when you nip it in the bud and you don't put up with it, life changes. But disappointment can paralyze you, and you can become the victim of it. So don't allow yourselves to be the victim. Signs of disappointment, it leaves a residue on your heart, just like an icky film. Just like, I don't know what that is. It's not unforgiveness. I'm not frustrated, but I'm just like, blah. You can lose vision. You used to have hope. You used to have dreams. You used to have passions about things. And now you're like, I don't really have many dreams anymore. I just plucker away. I do every day to day, but I don't really have dreams and visions for the next day. Maybe you feel like you've missed God. Maybe there's times where you thought you heard something from the Lord, and then it just didn't go through the way you thought it should go through. And so you thought you missed God. A light form of depression. You know, the enemy's such a liar, but that lethargic, like, blah, whatever, I don't care. That's a light form of depression. Do not allow that to come in. That is not hormones. That is the devil. So kick him out, okay? Maybe, I like this one, maybe you complain a lot. I found myself grumbling a lot. And when the kids and Dan were like, seriously, can you shut up? Like, you're, like, complaining so much. I annoyed myself. Have you ever annoyed yourself? Have you ever been like, oh, my God, shut up. In your head, you're like, just shut up already. Like, that is how it was. It was like, I am complaining too much about stupid things. So that might be a good sign for you. If you're complaining a lot, something's not right. If you are against yourself, you're beating yourself up. You're your own worst enemy. Nobody else has to tell you you're a loser, because you are. You're bitter and angry. You're frustrated a lot, and you've lost hope. There's no hope left. Whatever, God, I've seen this happen in my life, and this happened, and it didn't go the way I wanted. I just, whatever. No hope. Disappointment can cause unbelief, which is a scary road to losing your salvation, to walking away from the Lord. Unbelief. It can cause unforgiveness. It can cause laziness, weakness, and setting you up for defeat. Remember how Pastor Shea, I loved how she said that God had revealed to her that worry prepares you and weakens you, so that when the enemy hits, you're already weak. You're already broken down. I believe that disappointment does the same. It beats you up. It sets you up for defeat. And I don't know about you, but I don't do well when I get defeated in anything. So we weren't built that way. Disappointment is a non-fulfillment of someone's hope. Maybe you hoped for something and didn't come through the way you wanted it to. Maybe you thought something was going to go one way and you heard from the Lord and it didn't happen that way. So you're disappointed. I don't know, God. I thought I heard you, but I guess I didn't. And then you end up being disappointed with yourself, because then you blame yourself, like, oh, I just didn't hear God then. I don't know how reliable I am when I hear the Lord. And you tell your husband, I don't know. You know, I used to hear from God, and now I'm not hearing from him anymore. You start questioning your relationship with the Lord. Have you allowed disappointment to take your world over? And maybe you don't even know you have. Because for me, not until the end of that month did I know that I was so disappointed with so many things that had happened. And the weights, there were many things going on in different areas that the Lord had to bring in. And I had to just deal one by one with those disappointments. And I know that it was the best thing that happened to me, but I need you guys to be willing and ready to go there with you, because we need a team, an army, to come up against the wiles of the devil. And you can't do that if you are standing behind that cinder block. You can't do that if you can't reach out and help someone else. You can't do that when there's that blah, no vision, no excitement about life anymore. There's nothing driving you anymore or any longer. We have to stir ourselves up. So let's get into what God says about that. In 1 Samuel 1, 8 through 18, there's a lady named Hannah. Now, she was married. Now, forgive me, I'm not good with names. Elkanah She was married to him, and he had two wives. And one could have children, and Hannah couldn't. And back then, that was a big deal. If you couldn't give your husband children, it was like, you know, you were the lower one on the pole. You were being raided, it seemed like. And so this lady, you know, had many children, and poor Hannah didn't. And he would go to the temple every year, and he would give blessings, and he'd give sacrifices for his family and for all his children. But the word says that he gave double for Hannah because he really loved Hannah. So even though the other woman was loved by him and he had children by her, he loved Hannah. He would give a double portion for Hannah. So we're going to start in verse 8. Actually, I'm going to start in 7 real quick. And so it was year by year that she went up to the house of the Lord, and she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. How many of you have been disappointed that you're like, I'm just not hungry? I just don't feel like eating. I'm good. Maybe you eat when you're disappointed. Maybe you're a nervous eater. Maybe you're stressed out. Oh, I just need to eat something. But she was in that place of devastation. She was in that place of, hey, I'm disappointed. What's up with me, God? How come I can't have kids? How come you've closed my womb? Because the Bible says that the Lord had closed her womb. You think there wasn't some issues between her and God? You think that she wasn't like, come on, God. You did it for her. How come you didn't do it for me? See, I had disappointments. And Hannah had disappointments. And you have disappointments. But listen to what she did. Then Elkanah and her husband said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Such a man. Why do you not eat? Why does your heart grieve? Am I not better than 10 sons? Yes, honey, you're wonderful. But listen, my heart is hurting. Yeah, I mean, come on, such a guy. So Hannah arose, and she went to where she knows she needed to go. Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Then Eli the priest was sitting on the seat at the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. So Hannah went to God. She went to the tabernacle to talk to God. And she was in bitterness of soul. Bitterness of soul. She was bound. This consumed her every day. This woman and her were at competition. Did you know they were competing? It was like a competition. Who can have the most children? Who can do this for him? Oh, you're lesser of a wife because you can't provide for him, but I can. She was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Have you ever been there? Maybe you're saying, no, actually, I haven't, Pastor. I really haven't. I've done it with friends. I've done it with maybe family members, but I've never gone to God and just wept before him. Well, I did. That week, I did. I cried out to God, and I just was alone, and I'm telling you, there was something powerful that happened there. When you are vulnerable in front of the Lord, it's not vulnerable, it's humble. And when you bring these things to God, he has a listening ear. When your kids are really hurt over something, let's say your children come home from school and they say, this kid was picking on me today. They said this about my clothes, and then they said this about my dad, and then they said this about you. What does your heart do? Does your heart just want to go, oh, honey, no, listen, let me tell you how wonderful you are. Let me tell you how special you are. The same thing, I believe that we get God's ear at that point. So Hannah went to God, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed out to the Lord and wept in anguish. Verse 11, then she made a vow and she said, O Lord of hosts, if you indeed look upon my affliction, your maidservant, and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give me your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. No razor shall come upon his head. And it had happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. And Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. It's funny, huh? Because I did think about that week, and there were many times I was in the kitchen, and I was like praying while I was working, and the kids were like, Mom, what's wrong? No, nothing's wrong. I'm just talking to God. You know, Dan would call, are you okay? You haven't called me today. And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm just talking to God. It's going to be out of the norm for you. People are going to recognize that your eagerness to be with the Lord is not going to be a normal thing on your everyday scale. But God is looking for that unnormal thing. The brokenness. And now in verse 13, Hannah spoke in her heart And then it goes down at the end that Eli thought she was drunk, verse 14. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." Boy, these men, they're really on a roll, aren't they? And they are not connecting with her heart, are they? But this is where we say, okay, God, we so need you. And Hannah says, but Hannah answered, she said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither nor wine nor intoxicating drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant wicked. Women, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken until now." She hasn't talked about it. This has been something that's been in her heart, but she never expressed it to God. How many times, I know that I in my heart just kind of went, okay, God, it's disappointment, because that's what happens with disappointment. It bothers you, it frustrates you, and then you're kind of like, oh, okay, well, whatever, I'm moving on. And you tell yourself you've moved on, so you think you have. But that little ping is still there, and you don't recognize it because it wasn't major offense. It wasn't major, like, oh my gosh, I hate you type thing. It was subtle and gentle, and it was something that you were supposed to just live with. And then Eli answered her, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you petition which you have asked him." And he said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way, and her face was no longer sad. And then she ended up giving birth. Now listen, she knew what to do. And when it was the right time to talk, who did she talk to? God. So point number one, these are simple steps on how to get past disappointment. Point number one, talk with God. You know, Hannah was hurting. She was in despair. I can't imagine. I have some friends that have been trying to get pregnant for a very long time. And the brokenness and the disappointment and the faith and all of it is just like this. But let me tell you, I know God hears those prayers of anguish. I know that when I went to the Lord and I was so broken, and it took something that would hurt so deeply to make me open up, honestly, because I didn't even recognize any of that stuff was there. It was subtle. It had been years and years and years, and I had just been like, oh, it's not a big deal, whatever. And the Lord said, no, 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 no. It's totally building a wall. You have to get rid of this. And I really believe that when Hannah went to the Lord, he bent down and listened, and he heard her weeping. He heard her cry. In Psalms 18:16, in the Amplified, it says, "In my distress, when seemingly close in, I call upon the Lord and I cried out to my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, his heavenly dwelling place. My cry came before him in his very ears." Isn't that beautiful? To just think like, God, when I'm hurting, you're listening. When there are tears and nobody else seems like they care, you care, God. In that disappointment, he's there. Now this verse, I read it and Dan and I were talking about it. It seems so opposite of what we heard. You know, we've heard that morning, that verse, like, joy comes in the morning and da-da-da-da-da. Okay, well, listen to this one. James 4, 9 through 10. "Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Because so many times we had to put on a facade. No, it's good. I'm good. No, that situation didn't even bother me. I'm cool. Not even a big deal. How many times do you do that? You don't want to hurt someone else's feelings, even though they really did hurt you. Or the thing that they said wasn't that big of a deal, but it really was that big of a deal. Or when your kids did that, you don't want to push them away and make a big deal about it because maybe they won't come around the next time. But those disappointments start to build up. And God says, in your mourning, in your joy, quit faking it. Come talk to me. Be real with me because then we can fix it. Then it can come out. Then it can be exposed. Because until it's exposed, the enemy has his grip on us. Until you stop and talk with the Lord, the enemy will keep you bound. So go to the throne, girls. It's such a simple thing, but so hard. Because I know my life is busy. I'm not kidding you. Every time I go to sit down on the couch, I hate it. I go to sit down on the couch. I think it's all early in the morning. Nobody's awake. I like sneak downstairs. I'm like, yes, nobody's up. I'm going to read my Bible. And here's Chloe. Always follows me downstairs. I'm like, she can hear anything, God. Like, she always hears us. And it's okay. But then I get alone with God maybe when Ty is down taking a nap. Find your spot. Find your place. Find some time. You guys, I mean, you may not have as crazy of a life as I do. I can't even get together for coffee with anyone because who, where, when, I don't even know. So I'm telling you, my life is different. You know, Pastor Sue gets to get up in the morning and pray for hours. I covet that. I shouldn't covet, but I do. I want to be able to do that. It's just not reality for me. So find what works for you. Find what you can do at this time. Get alone with the Lord. And if you have to tell everyone, hey, I'm going in my closet and I ain't coming out. I don't want you knocking on it. I don't want you talking to me. And that's just how this is going to go because mommy really needs, or grandma or whoever, needs to just be alone with the Lord. And you make your space and you make your time for God. And go in there ready to be real. Not put on a facade. This is God. He knows all. He sees all. He knows what's going on. And ask him to pull those things out that maybe were there that you never recognized were there. God, what are the disappointments that I've been putting up with and living with? And thinking it's okay for me to just, oh, it's no biggie. They're not even there. It's, disappointed, but oh, well, I'll move past disappointment. It's such a casual thing that it ends up tearing you up. So talk to God. Ask him to reveal that. You know, Hannah did that in verse 10. And it was in her bitterness of soul that she prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. I know that in that time, I was just with God. I mean, it was probably the best thing in the world. It was the weirdest thing for me in the world because I'm very like, I want to talk to people. I love being with people. I didn't even want to come to church during that week because I just can't come to church. I have to, you know, talk to everybody, and that's fine normally. But this week, it was like, I don't want to talk. I don't have anything to say. I don't really, if somebody were to engage me in a conversation, I don't care. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no offense, but I did not care about anyone else's problems. I did not care about what was going on. And then that's what showed me, okay, I need to get before God. Something ain't right here. And that was a light form of depression. So recognize it for what it is and get rid of it because I could feel it coming on me. And Dan even said, you know, what are you doing? What's going on? I said, I think it's trying to jump on me, but I'm not going to let it, you know. And I was in a spiritual battle that week, and it was such a good one, though. It's okay to get alone sometimes. It's okay to not want to talk sometimes. It's okay to want to be alone as long as you don't not talk to God. You have to keep your communication open with the one who wants to communicate with you, the one who has the answers for you, the one who can show you and point it out. And that brings us to point number two. Receive the revelation. When you're with your king and you're talking to him, he's going to reveal some stuff. Isn't that fun? I sat there like, oh, gosh, all right. You know, like, geez, Dan was right. You know, like, I mean, I had to die to me a lot that week. And I had to really search me out and say, fine, God, fine. Yes, I've been complaining a lot. You know, I've been doing this a lot. And it wasn't fun. The revelation of what was going on in my heart was not fun. But it was so necessary. And just like me, he needs to do it with you. Just like me, he needs to do it with your husbands. Just like me, he needs to do it with humanity. Because to have his revelation reveal to us what's going on, then it's laid out on the table and you can look at it and go, okay, well, it's really not that bad. I actually can overcome that. That's something that I can fix. That's something that I have all the tools to because I sit in church and I receive the word. And every time you come in here, you are getting tools under your little faith belts to fight off what is going on. So receive the revelation that he's going to give you because he will give it to you and it may not be fun. In Ephesians 1, 17 through 19, this is a verse I live by. I say this verse almost every day over my children, actually. And it says, we'll start in verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. When you are alone, when you are receiving what God has for you in this time that you are supposed to be with him. Because now we're talking about your time alone with God. And he's going to reveal things. Receive that revelation. When it is, ask for his wisdom. Ask for God's wisdom. Because so many times we think we got to just figure it out ourselves. No, no, no. He has it all planned out. So just ask him for his wisdom and his revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance. You see, we serve a God, and he's our dad, and his inheritance is humongous, and what he owns is beyond what you can think, dream, or imagine, and what the situation looks like, he is like, please, that is like nothing under my nail. That's like a piece of dirt under my fingernail that I could flick away and get rid of. Remember who you are. Because it's going to be that time of revelation that the Lord is going to say, I need to give you the revelation, but you need to be able to receive what I have for you. Because I'm going to reveal wisdom. I'm going to reveal my glory. I'm going to show you what your inheritance is when you are my daughter. So the glory of his inheritance in his saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. You see, you're not in this alone. When I went to God, I was broken, I was in anguish, I laid it out on the throne. God brought back everything that had happened in the last 2 years. And then he said, now here's your plan. And he did itemize them for me because he knows how my brain works. I'm very organized, everything has a place. And he itemized everything for me. He said, with this one, this is what you're going to do. You're going to fight, you're going to do this. With this one, you're going to love and you're going to pray silently. With this one, you're going to do, and there were just different things. And he just laid it out and I was like, oh, okay, I feel good. And then I just started to make the steps to what I needed to do next. And every time I did, let me tell you, God showed up. Every time I did what he asked me to do, because I was able to receive the revelation that he needed me to do. And then he gave me the plan. And when I did it, it was anointed. When I took the steps that he asked me to take, my eyes were open. The understanding was there. I got it. It was like a bing, a light bulb went on. The penny dropped. All those sayings, I got it. But listen, you need to get it. Because you sit in these services and we preach our hearts out to you. And then right after church, you come up to us with anguish. And all this hell is coming. And you just are scared. And we're like, we just taught on fear. I'm serious. I need you to have ears to hear what God is saying. If I could say anything to you, open your ears and listen to what God is saying. Because when he receives, when you receive his revelation, when he's speaking to you about something, then nothing can take you off course. But when you are not receiving his revelation and you are allowing everything else to come into your pity party, you're going to go way off course. You're not going to hear from God. You're going to get bad reports left and right. And God's going to say, well, you know, you're just bound to have the disappointment. And I want to help you, but I can't. When my daughter whines and whines and whines and whines, which she did this morning, about everything, I just kind of go, Chloe, you need to go pray. Because I can't help you. I am not your answer to what's going on in your heart. What's your deal? And she's like, I don't know, Mom. I'm like, well, go fix it. Go pray. That's what I always tell my kids, especially my crazy middle child. I'm like, you need to go pray. And in the car, on the way here, she said, Mom, I'm really sorry for freaking out about nothing this morning. And I went and prayed, and God showed me that I need to calm down, and it's not a big deal. And I'm like, okay, no biggie, Chloe. Thank you. You know, like, totally cool. But, I mean, it happens in us at a young ages. You think we just don't grow up like that? It just, we continue it into our adulthood, only we get more dramatic. And we affect way many more people, like a husband and children and cousins and family members and all those people that have to put up with you. So listen, receive the revelation. Have ears to hear. Let your eyes be open to his understanding. Let his inheritance be yours. Own it. Own what it is that we've been given. Otherwise, what is the point of having something good if you're not going to use it? If you're not going to walk in it? You have the opportunity to have this freedom. Number three, when you've received the revelation, you need to repent. So many times we say, oh, yes, I got something good from God. I got something good from God. It's so good. I'm free. Yeah, you ain't free until you apologize. I had to go before the Lord and say, I am sorry for my unbelief. I am sorry, God, for my bitterness and my anger. I am sorry, Lord, for my mouth. I shouldn't be saying they're screwed up. Forgive me, God. Forgive me. You know, there's somebody in my life, and let me tell you, I mean, she could say the worst thing about this person in her life, and she could really go there, and it would be so, the way the world would look at it, justified. Totally makes sense. And the other day, somebody in her family was saying bad things about this person that she totally has the right to go off on herself. And she said, no, we're not going there. I don't want you cursing that person in front of me. Don't say that in this house. And she got on them, and I was like, you go, girl. You know, as much as that person is doing wrong, she is not going to put herself in jeopardy with the Lord. And I just really know, because she said she went before the Lord and repented for her mouth. I went before the Lord today, and I repented. I repented for the way I talked about that stinking mortgage company, and it's still something I'm working on. I repented for my... It's still something that I'm working on. And I do repent every day for complaining. I catch myself now, where before I didn't even catch myself. It was like, just complain, I never even noticed. Now I catch myself. And the problem is, though, don't be judgmental, because I catch other people now, too. And I'm like, I'm totally complaining a lot. Like, and I cannot be the finger pointer in this, because I just, right now, it's a revelation of knowledge for me, so I can change. So be careful not to throw that on somebody else, okay? You're not their judge. Let God be their judge. But so I am learning that, and God is walking me through these steps because I'm receiving my revelation. But I had to, every time I start complaining, every time, oh, Lord, please forgive me. I need to stop complaining. You are still on the throne. You are an awesome God, and I love you. And you know what? The whole day changes. Like, I'm telling you, can I tell you a little story? Like, I was complaining on Saturday night, and Dan, you know, when Dan does the weekends, we get attacked. Kids don't sleep. Something always goes wrong, you know, and I got to keep him, like, in the spirit. So I'm, like, on. You know what I'm talking about. I am on. I am, like, up all night. I am, like, during the day making all the meals, making sure he's getting fed properly, doing everything I need to do. And the kids always seem to act up that weekend. And so I was, like, on Saturday night, like, you know, just, this is going to be a hard night. I can just tell they're not going to sleep. And the Lord stopped me. He said, stop complaining. Stop it. So I repented of my complaining, and we ended up sleeping well. Well, the next day we came to church. It was a wonderful day on Sunday. How many of you were here? It was such a good word. And second service, God just came. I mean, like, there was just, like, this gift of faith that poured out on the congregation, and I just know there were miracles that happened that day. And I was so grateful that in my heart I fixed it right away so I could be someone who would receive that and be a part of that. And so that night, Sunday night, we were on our way to church, and my brother was going to preach, and we're all in the car, all happy. The kids are, like, all excited to go to church, and we're at this stoplight, and all of a sudden, bam, we got hit. And I know, we're all okay. So I didn't even recognize that we got hit, though, because it was loud, but you know, like, when it takes you a second? And so I'm like, what? And Dan's like, oh, my goodness. And I see this car, like, go around us and kind of pull off to the side. I'm like, what? And he's like, we got hit. I'm all, we did? So we pull over, and I am just, like, giddy. I'm just like, whatever. Just get our information. We'll figure it out later. We're still going to church. Like, I don't care what the devil's trying to do here. We are going to church. Like, so then my kids, seriously. And so then my kids... We're like, come on, Dad, like yelling out the window, hurry up, we're going to miss church. I'm like, you guys, she's crying. Please. Like, the girl was, like, crying. Dan's trying to console her. And I'm just like, shut up, kids. You're totally being a cobra right now. Like, be quiet. So we got through it. We're on our way to church. And then this, like, fire truck, the biggest, longest fire truck I've ever seen in my life, is, like, blocking every lane to get through to the freeway. And I'm like, we can't turn around because there's, like, tons of cars behind us. This is, like, in front of us. And I'm like, seriously? Like, they are into the first song right now. We are still going to church. It's a... We, like, finally the fire truck moves, they let us through, and I'm just like, wow, the devil really tried tonight, didn't he? And Dan's like, he did. And I'm all, he didn't win. And everybody just kind of started laughing in the car, like, whatever, devil, you didn't win. So we get to church, Luke preaches an awesome message at the very end of it. I have this neighbor. Now, remember how I gave pumpkins to my neighbors, and I was, like, on this quest to get my neighborhood saved? So my neighbor got saved. She got saved right before Girls' Night Out. Hallelujah. And it's a Buddhist family. So they're Vietnamese. They own nail shops. They're, like, wonderful. And she got saved. And she's Buddhist. And so I was like, oh, my gosh. I don't know if she's going to keep coming back. She started coming. And I hadn't seen her in a couple weeks. And they were being loud. They're kind of my loud neighbors on the other side. And I'm in my bathroom getting ready. And I'm like... Lord, I just pray, Holy Spirit, I haven't seen her in church, that you hit her so hard that you just bug her, that she has to come back to church if she hasn't been coming, and that she will get her family saved. And I prayed this on Saturday afternoon. So Sunday night, she comes running down the altar. She's like, my brother. And her brother, who we talk to all the time, got saved. And his friend, too. Two more souls. Listen, guys, this is really hinging on you. Because if you are still walking in bitterness, if you're still complaining on a daily basis, if you're still holding on to those stupid things in the past that, yes, were disappointments, but you don't have to keep them, then who's not going to get saved because of it? Who's not? That girl that hit us, it could have been way worse. We could have been crabby and tired, like, oh, we worked all day. We have to go back now. We are exhausted. We got like half an hour at home just to change and feed our kids cereal. And, I mean, we could have done that, but we didn't. We were happy. Dan was able to love on her. We still can't get a hold of her, so hopefully the car will get fixed. But in Jesus' name, she's blessed. And, you know, it just like it changed the day. It changed the circumstance. I know why the enemy is trying to get me to stop coming to church, because he didn't want me to see the fruit of what I poured and worked so hard on. And listen, that would not have happened, I believe, if I would not have repented, because I would have still been in that complaint mode. I would have still been in that woe me mode. Listen, get outside of yourself, repent, move on. 1 John 1:9, it says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, repenting just releases the devil's grip on your life. Repenting releases the devil's grip on your life. You don't need him around, so kick him out, right? Which brings us to number 4, resist the devil. Resist the devil. Resist the devil. James 4:7 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When those emotions come back, when those feelings come back, when that person that you just love so much is right in front of your face, the one that disappointed you, you choose love. You do the opposite of what you feel. You say the opposite of what should be said. It's not easy to be right, to do right. It's not easy. It's actually easy to be lazy in your feelings. It's actually easy to be like, I don't really want to be around them, so I'm not going to. It's actually easier to push back, to break away, to say, oh, I'm good. I'm good here. I'm safe here. That's easy. But listen, when you want to resist the devil and you want to get him off your back, that's going to be a fight. But when you do it, you are releasing his grip from your life, and he no longer has place over you, your family, and the people that are going to get saved. This is bigger than you. These disappointments are not about you. They're about the people that you are going to affect in this world. You have a call and a purpose and a destiny. So resist the devil, and he will flee. Every time that I want to complain, and I'm like, nope. And I do say, get out of here, devil, all day long. Get out of here, devil. Get out of here, devil. And my kids now do it. And every time Micah gets mad, you just go to hell, you devil. Like he yells at him. No, seriously, he stubbed his toe today. And Dan's like, well, pray over your toe. And he's like, you stupid devil, go away. You made this happen to my toe. You just go spit on fire. And he's like saying stupid things, right? And Dan's like, okay, Micah, you don't need to do all that. Like, you don't need to, you just need to pray for healing. He is my cobra that looks like a Roth. I love him. So anyways, fight back. Resist the devil and he will flee. And you know what? I really believe that there's power in the word flee. You know? I do. I always tell the devil, you flee. You get out of here, devil. You go and send him where he belongs. Send him straight back to hell. Don't let him roam around and mess with your kids because he can't mess with you. Don't let him roam around and go mess with your family. I say, no, 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 you're going back to hell tonight. If he's bugging me in my dreams or something, you're going back to hell. That's where you're going. You're not going to go in my kids' rooms and mess with them. You're not going to go over to my husband and mess with him. You go back to hell where you came from, and it works every time. So girls, resist the devil and he will flee. When you feel those emotions and those thoughts and those complaining things coming back, you send the devil packing. Send him packing. Get him out of there. And number 5, leave it behind and move forward. Don't pick it back up. Don't rehearse it. So many times we as women, we rehearse things. Do you notice that? You have to tell a story 50 times. But I think we do that because we haven't talked to God about it. Don't pick it back up. Deal with it, nip it in the bud, and leave it there. No more, no way is it going to come back into my life. No more, no way am I going to let this back in. No more, no way is this going to have place over me. No more, no way is this going to affect my children. No more, no way am I not going to see my neighbor saved. No more, no way am I not going to see my family saved. Listen, they're watching you complain, especially if they're your close family and you want them saved. Why do they want to get saved? She's annoying. Every time we go to her house, she's complaining all the time. She says she's a Christian and she's happy. She don't seem happy to me. Why do I want anything to do with that God? Listen, guys, fix it. Because we need these people saved. We need them in heaven. They don't need to be going to hell. Don't pick it back up. Listen to what God's done for you. Revelations 21, 5 through 7. If you have your Bibles, turn there. It's good for you to see it. So that when hell comes against you, you will know, you will just automatically know where to go in the Word. Revelations 21, 5 through 7. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." I love that. He said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts." I believe the him who thirsts is the one who went to him in anguish. The one that went to him needing something from God. Who went to him broken. That would be you. That would be me that week. I came to him in anguish and he totally gave me drink. And the verse says, "And he who overcomes shall inherit all things and will be his God, and they shall be my son and daughter." Listen, he has already paid the price. It is already a done deal. Now it's your choice to be a part of it. He who thirsts will receive. And so, girls, leave it behind you. There's always going to be disappointment in our lives. But do not allow yourself to become the victim of it. You know, there's a victim mentality here in San Bernardino. I'm not going to lie to you guys. Horrible things happen here. Stupid things that shouldn't happen happen. Life is broken. People are hurting. But we've got to get out of a victim mentality. And we have to get into, hey, I'm going to get past myself, and no matter what the other person is doing, no matter what the other person is thinking, and no matter how I perceive that situation, I'm going to walk in love. I'm not going to avoid them. I'm not going to avoid the situation. I'm not going to avoid what it is God has put in front of me. Listen, let's be real here. You may be wanting someone in your family to get saved. You might want to see them really on fire for God. Maybe they are saved. Maybe they're just not on fire. Maybe they're just like, "Oh, yeah, I go to church like once a week, but I'm not really excited about God." Listen, maybe that's you. Enough. God says, you need to get on fire because this world is out to kill, steal, and destroy your soul. And you need to get on fire. And the people in your world cannot get on fire unless you are a good representation of him. So listen, change so you can see others saved. Deal with the disappointment so that you're not standing and living behind a cinder block the rest of your life. God has too much for us not to be free. And listen, what the enemy said is not bigger and greater than what God says. And so never put what he says on a platform to what God says. God will always be bigger. He will always be better. But it's going to be your choice to take those things out of your heart, to go be alone with God, and in that, get his revelation. Repent for those things that you've done or said or thought or not dealt with. Hello, not dealt with. Let me say that again. Not dealt with, avoided. Resist the devil. Don't let him come back in once you've dealt with those things. And leave it behind. Don't pick it back up. You know what happened. Just say, hey, listen, God did some awesome things in my life. And I'm just not there. I'm not going there. If your family members want to go there with you, I'm just not going to go there. Not going to go there. Let's talk about something else. Not going to go there. Those disappointments want to come back. Not going to go there. I am totally free of this. I brought this to God and I am clean. Don't allow those things to come back. Because don't you think for a second the enemy is not going to look for a little crevice to sneak back in and ruin your world. Okay? So if you got something from God today, go ahead and give him a hand. Thank you, Lord. How to overcome disappointment. Not the funnest message to preach, but a good one. Something for us to have a tool under our belt, not to allow it to happen again.